Okay, so we started yesterday really focusing on the topic of Kiddush B'Makom Suda, and we have a couple of both broad principles and details to figure out. So towards the end yesterday, we had posed the question of just where Kiddush B'Makom Suda comes from, and there really are a range of possibilities that either it is a Din Rabbanan completely, or it is a din min haTorah, perhaps, or it is a din derabanan that modifies a din d'oraisa and therefore redefines it, or it's a din midivrei Kabbalah. These were all possibilities. We saw that some of the Rishonim, a lot of the Rishonim, introduced the element of zocher of the karas l'shabbos oneg, rather, pasuk in Yeshayahu. Different spins, possibly meaningful, possibly not, on how to phrase that drasha, lending the possibility that it could be midivrei Kabbalah. The machlokas that the Rush has with Rabbeinu Yonah is a little bit subject to interpretation, that Rabbeinu Yonah had said that when Kiddush is recited in shul, maybe even if there aren't people eating in shul, it's still valuable because Kiddush B'Makom Suda is only an asmachta, and Kiddush Min HaTorah is still possible even without the idea of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And just parenthetically, this is a whole big discussion, which we've touched upon many, many times throughout the year, but it's just interesting to note that this seems to clash with Rabbeinu Yonah's statements in the very beginning of Shas. In the first Mishnah in Brachos, the Mishnah says that Zman Kriyat Shema is at night, subject to a dispute as to how long of the night we have, and that two out of the three opinions really both agree that we have all night to say Kriyat Shema, but just the view of Chachamim is that we only have until Chatzos by rabbinic law. It's the Din Rabbanan that we should make sure to say Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. And Rabbeinu Yonah over there has a very controversial opinion subject to much, much discussion that it's a actual nullification of the Mitzvah Minhag Torah. That even though the Mitzvah Minhag Torah is all night, but once Chachamim, this is the dominant position, it's a little bit of a question whether we actually assume there is a Gezerah, but if it's true that there is a Gezerah only until Chatzos, that cuts off the fulfillment of Kriyat Shema completely. So that's a fascinating idea, subject to a lot of dispute. So some point out that it's interesting that there is this clash here, that here Rabbeinu Yonah says, okay, so the Din Rabbanan requires you to have Kiddush B'Makom Suda, but even without that, the Mitzvah Minhag Torah would still be there. Well, in the context of Kriyat Shema, he's saying that the Mitzvah the Rabbanan stops it at Chatzos, and that means after that, there's no Mitzvah even Minhag Torah anymore. Even though Minhag Torah, the mitzvah could have gone all night, but the rabbis modified it and canceled that mitzvah. So it's an interesting distinction, and it's an interesting clash, and just this is not so much about Kiddush as it is about this question that we've dealt with in so many contexts this year, just to give it a little bit of chazara. So recall that we talked about the question of whether shofar blown on Shabbos would still fulfill any mitzvah min haTorah that came up at the very beginning of the year. We talked about the question of whether Heseba, if that's required for the mitzvah of matzah min haTorah, if you don't have Heseba, so could you still fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on a level min haTorah? Heseba is the requirement of Rabbanan. So this question came up again and again, it came up more times also throughout the year. If the rabbis add on to a din min haTorah, so what does that do to the din itself on a basic level? So here, it's coming up again. So here, what happens if you have Kiddush, but you don't have a B'Makom Suda? So Rabbeinu Yonah here is explicitly saying it's possible to split. You can have the mitzvah min haTorah without the mitzvah derabanan. And in Brachos, he seems to say the opposite. So that's an interesting point that there is that clash. And one suggestion you could make is that maybe it was up to some take the view that maybe Chazal had the ability to decide when they're going to invalidate the mitzvah and Torah and when they're not. And it depends whether their din is an enhancement or is coming from some kind of a concern. So in the case of Kiddush, let's say, it's an enhancement. Okay, so we would rather you do the mitzvah perfectly with all the details, midrabbana. And when it comes to the basic mitzvah, it's still there, even if you don't do it that way. But when it comes to kriyashma, so Chazal were afraid that you would lose the whole mitzvah. It was said that if you would wait till too late at night, you would get distracted and fall asleep and forget and whatever it is. So therefore, to make sure that the mitzvah itself doesn't get neglected completely, so therefore they had to take a stronger stance and they said, that's it, you only have this limited time to do it, you're not going to have the backup option of having it later. So that's another possible approach which could maybe account for the difference in Rabbeinu Yonah's position in both places. At other times, the Chazar of Value, again, at the time that we talked about this year, was the din of Kol Mishlomer Shlosh Dvarim Elu. Rabbi Gamliel's din that you have to say Pesach Matzah Mar to be Yotze, and the assumption that that's the Brahmana, so how could it be that if you fail to do this, you're not Yotze of Mitzvah Minat Torah? And there the Ran said, well, it doesn't mean you're not Yotze of Mitzvah Minat Torah. It means that you are not fully addressing all of the rules, but you are still in fulfillment on a level of Minat Torah. So there again, you have that same issue coming up. Okay, that's a little bit of a side point, but it drew upon so many things we spoke about this year as a good Chazara opportunity. Everybody with me? Yeah? Okay. So in any event, so here, Rabbeinu Yonah is certainly clear that he sees it as possible to split and that you could fulfill something at a level Minat Torah that would be worth it even if you don't have the Drabbanan. And the Rush disagreed. So does the Rush say, therefore, that Kiddush Makom Suda is in Minat Torah? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought so. Rabbi Akiva Eiger thought that that's what he meant. And others disagree. Now, why disagree? So it seems difficult to say that Kiddush Makom Suda is really Minat Torah. To see that in the Pasuk is a little bit of a stretch. So how could you come to that conclusion? So just to review, you could come to the conclusion either by saying that the Chreyu Al Hayayin is itself Minat Torah, which, as we'll see, is difficult to the Rush himself. Elsewhere, does not take that view. But if you maintain that Zachreya Leyayin is a Drasha Gemurah, so that's somehow understood in the Pasuk, and like the statements in the Rashbam, that when we say Zachreya Leyayin, we mean not just anyone, but the wine of Chashivas in the wine of the Suda, so then perhaps you could come to that conclusion. Or if you understand that it's Midivrei Kabbalah, because of the language of the Pasuk of the Karas L'Shabbos Oneg, or if you understand that it is not really a Din Minat Torah, but this whole notion we're talking about a Drabbanan being able to redefine the Mitzvah Minat Torah, so even though, yes, it's only Drabbanan, but there isn't left any possibility of fulfilling the Mitzvah without that. So that might be three ways to understand how the Rush could come to such a conclusion. However, there are those, like we said yesterday, Steve Shalevsky and a few others. Taurus Rafal talked about this in his sefer. Taurus Rafal was the father-in-law of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Rafal Shapiro. He was also the son-in-law of the Nativ. So Reb Chaim was married to the granddaughter of the Nativ. So in the middle was Reb Rafal Shapiro. So his Taurus Rafal, he discusses this as well, where exactly this Rush is coming from. So it's possible to say that, no, the Rush never meant to say that this is Minat Torah. It means Midrabbanan. Midrabbanan ain't Kiddush Ela B'Makom Suda. However, what he's arguing with the Rabbeinu Yonah about is that since this is all Midrabbanan, so fine, you have to fulfill the Midrabbanan, but you don't gain anything from the Kiddush and Shul. Because the Kiddush Ahakos is going to bring in wine, but not B'Makom Suda, What do you gain from just having the wine and not the makom sudo? It's nishtahein nishtaher. So in the Torah, perhaps you could be yotzei with even less than that. And like we noted, the Rush in his Tosfos HaRush to Nazir on Daf Gimel, where the Gemara has that statement. So there he assumes that it is drabbanan. So presumably here also he holds with drabbanan, but you're not accomplishing anything by just having wine without the makom sudo. It's only half the drabbanan. So that's not necessarily going to do anything for us. Of course, it's an interesting question that you could take it a little further and wonder that are there maybe two different dinim drabbanan here? That maybe there's a possibility of being yotzei kiddush min haTorah with, let's say, just a reference. And there's a din drabbanan of wine and a din drabbanan of makom sudo, and there's two different dinim. So maybe you'll be helping the people in the shul get the daraisa and one din drabbanan, but just not the other din drabbanan. So that opens up an interesting question about how dinim drabbanan could relate to each other. And is it one din that would be incomplete without the wine being the makom sudo? Or should we say that there's two separate dinim, that they impact each other? It's also an interesting question to explore. Okay, so far so good. Now this is some labor-good stuff. Everybody with me? Okay, so then we also started to talk about the question of variations in emphasis in the Rishonim, if it's significant, that v'makom kriya sham tehe oneg, that you should have the suda in the place where there was the kriya of kiddush, where the Rashbam had it, or the Rush who has the emphasis going the other way, that v'makom oneg sham tehe kriya, that in the place where you have the oneg, that's where you should call out to the kiddush. So that's itself an interesting question, whether we're saying that the possibilities are that Suda is a din in the Kiddush, or the Kiddush is in the Suda. And we know that saying the Kiddush is a din in the Suda could explain Kiddush during the day, could explain the Chumrah that one might have to make Kiddush at Shal Shudas also, that some Sofer talked about. But of course Shal Shudas also does have somewhat of a different requirement as far as Suda is concerned. So that's also perhaps something that is open for discussion. Should just note, as Amar Mokum, that Reb Moshe Feinstein has a very long tshuva where he considers the possibilities, whether it's a din in Mokum Suda or a din in, or if it's in the Suda or din in the Kiddush. This is in Chelek Dal and Siman Tamach Gimel. There's a very long tshuva about this. And he tends to the view that they're both, that we find dinim here that reflect both the needs of the Suda and also the needs of the Kiddush. And that's essentially where he leans on this. Rav Asher Weiss, in the Shir Mamsachim and elsewhere, so he considers this whole issue. He is inclined to say that really thinks the only really likely possibility is that it's a din in the Kiddush, and that the language of the Gemara really indicates that way. Even though there are other reasons why the meal benefits from having the Kiddush there. There are dinim in the Suda that still are relevant here, but the halacha of Kiddush Makom Suda that is driving a lot of these considerations, so that is a din in Kiddush. That's the language of the Gemara in Kiddush al Makom Suda. That's the way that he inclines. But then there's many possibilities that are discussed. And I saw the Sefer Yushalayim Mu'ada, which is a collection, an annotated collection of a lot of the writings of Rav Neventhal Shlita. So there he talks about the question of, let's say you had a woman forgot to be mafresh challah. So the challah that she baked for her family was actually asur b'achila, was all tevel. So she only realized that the next morning. So Friday night, she realized that all the challah that was served was actually asur b'achila. So does that disqualify the Kiddush? Should we say that the Kiddush was now not the makom sudo, Because the Suda wasn't any good, the Suda was not permissible, so then the Kiddush was also no good. What do you think about that? Any thoughts? So he's inclined to actually say like that, to say that if it were indeed the case that all of the Suda defining elements were Asur Bachila, so then the Kiddush itself would also be disqualified. He noted, and we'll discuss right now, that there are different shitas as to what constitutes Achila. So if you had one of those other possibilities, which we'll go through right now, so then you could rely on that for the Kiddush Makom Suda. But assuming that everything that would have counted for Makom Suda was all Asur V'Achila, so then he was under the impression that that would disqualify the Kiddush too. Zach? Through what? Sorry?
Fasting.
Through fasting, well, not normally, only when you had a bad dream.
Yeah,
you know, usually you don't enjoy fasting. So in general, the basic definition of Oneg is Dav Ketit and Dav Kenat to fast. So we assume under normal circumstances that it's very wrong to fast on Shabbos. There are some possible exceptions. So the Gemara in Tainus talks about that if somebody is very upset about a bad dream that they had and they need to fast in order to address the bad dream, so then that's important to do, and that you could do even on Shabbos. So the Rishonim explain that it's because the eating on Shabbos is normally for the purpose of Oneg, and in 99.9% of all cases, it will be considered more Onegdik to eat than to fast, so that means to eat. But in an unusual circumstance where somebody is so far hits the bad dream that it will be more of an Oneg for him to know that he's addressing the dream rather than to eating, so for him, the fast will be more of an oneg. But that's a very usual circumstance. For the average person, their oneg is eating. So here, to say that they will be able to be Mekayim Kiddush Makom Suda by an oneg that doesn't have any reason to call it an oneg is a little more difficult. Now, maybe what you could say, and here, this is something to consider, is that if it's about Oneg, so listen, it's unfortunate that the challah was prohibited, but L'maisa, it was still pretty tasty. You know, so that is probably more of an Oneg than fasting was. Fasting would have been. So to say that we can erase the food and consider it as if it wasn't there, and therefore it's no worse than fasting, that's hard to say. But if you say that there is still an oneg there, it may not have been a permissible oneg. Certainly no one's going to say l'chatila that the din of oneg is going to justify eating something knowingly, basically. But if it happens at the shokeg, so a person ate something they didn't realize was utter, so then l'maisa, he probably could say that it was an oneg, especially if we assume that this is only Drabanan anyway. Right? So that actually is a topic that we've also touched upon this year. Right? Nisa Drabanan B'Shogeg. So all the more so, there should be room to say that that was at least an Oneg after the fact. And even if you want to say that Min HaTorah, if you ate something that's also Min HaTorah, so then that doesn't even count as any kind of Hana. But we've discussed various iterations also throughout the year of the view of the Nesivos HaMishpat that Yisur and Drabanan are different. So certainly an Yisur Drabanan B'Shogeg that somebody ended up eating probably should be considered an Oneg. So that's itself an interesting lumsus to consider. Well, that's a question. The question is part of what he discusses there. The mitzvah habavi avera, And he has a very long footnotes at the bottom. I should get a chance to look at the footnotes. They're much, much, much longer than the text. The text is about a paragraph long, and the footnotes take up about 4 pages. But that's the consideration that he's coming from, is the mitzvah habavi avera. But the question is, here, if you say it's a mitzvah habavi avera b'drabanan b'shogeg, so that already takes us a few steps away from a clear mitzvah habavi avera. But there's another interesting angle to consider here, and that is mitzvah habavi avera even relevant? Right, because perhaps you could say that it's not totally on the mitzvah. It's totally on the oneg. If it's all coming from the karas of the Shabbos oneg, so if somebody had a oneg dik Shabbos, but it happened to Isser, so again, we would never be matter him to do that on purpose. But after the fact, what turned out to be an Isser b'shogeg was a hanoah and was an oneg, so then maybe we should say that should be good enough for this din of the makom kriya shom tehei oneg. Like, how do you know that kiddush makom suda is totally on being mekayim the mitzvah of the suda, or coming at the suda from a mitzvah perspective? Again, I feel like I should emphasize the question only comes up at the Evid, because no one's going to say that you're allowed to do an Aveira for the purpose of the Oneg. But if you didn't know you were doing an Aveira, and even if we were to subtract, even if we were to grant the Mitzvah Habavi Aveira, and we were to erase the Mitzvah, so would that also erase the Oneg? Interesting question. There's a lot to be mafalpal about that. But that question of what counts as eating is itself part of this whole question. So you saw the Rush yesterday. So the Rush writes that this idea that you should taste a little bit, that comes from the language of the Gemara, just to have a little bit here. So the Yotze Kish Mokum Sudo. So what does it mean to have a little bit? So he says a little bit still means bread or wine. Still means something that is part of a category of Kriyat Suda. And the language, the Shulchan Aruch, if you had a chance to see that, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gaonim, that the Gaonim language is, Afilu Ochol Davar Muat, Oshot Akot Yayin, Shechayev Olof Bracha, Yotzei Dei Kirish Makom Suda, V'gomer Sudas V'mokom Acher. So even just having a little bit and finishing later, you could be Yotzei, but the little you have to have is bread or wine. The language is the Davka, but if you had just fruit, then that wouldn't be good. And the Magen Avraham adds on that if we're going to say you could have wine, he thinks that mizonos, all the more so, because mizonos is even better than wine, but it's not peros still. The language of Shulchan Aruch is no peros. Magen Avraham says, again, no peros. However, the Shulte Gibar, if you had a chance to see that, the Shulte Gibar Manar Das, and Daf Kavala from Sachin, he quotes the Riaz that Paris is also called Kiddush Makom Suda, and anything that is Suda Shabbos, anything connected to Shabbos, is considered to be Makom Suda. But again, the Magen Avraham, as we saw, didn't like this. Prima Gaudim writes in his Eishel Avraham, in his commentary to the Magen Avraham, that it's possible to say that there could be an exception, that if you have dates, if you have a tamarim, so maybe that's different than regular fruit. Based on the language of the Gemara, the soydi is zaini, that it's a little more appetizing. So maybe that should be credited with a little bit more than stop fruit, some fruit. And some say also that mine targima in general would also work. So this is, as you see, a machlokas, is what counts and what doesn't count. And because of the machlokas, as Mishnah Berurah notes, so many take different attitudes towards Kiddush Friday night and Kiddush during the daytime. That Kiddush Friday night is a Dimon HaTorah, And Kiddush during the daytime, according to almost everybody, is the Kiddush Drabbanan, Kiddush Rabba. At least for sure, if you did make Kiddush Friday night. So therefore, a common attitude is to be more machmir about Friday night Kiddush and to assume you really need more of a Suda, while Kiddush during the morning, so there, a lower standard for what to qualify as a Suda, often should, or is often accepted for the purposes of Kiddush Makom Suda, and that should count. So the Gra, and the Maisa Rav is quoted from the Gra, that even during the Kiddush of the daytime, he was makdir to have a Suda Gemura, and not just wine or Minei Targima for that purpose. Again, you have different views here. Rav Asher Weiss noted that the language, the Shulchan Aruch, of the Gomer Sudasa B'mokam Acher, that you can finish your Suda in somewhere, some other location. So, you know, so what's the Chiddush there? Is the Chiddush to tell you that if you decide to move somewhere else and eat more, you don't need another Kiddush? Or that you don't need to bench first in order to start the Suda somewhere else, which is really a din in Hilchos Brachos? It doesn't sound like it. So he thinks that the point is to tell you that this whole machlokas about what counts is based on the assumption that it's really a tchila of the Suda. So we say Kiddush Makom Suda, we mean Kiddush B'makom Tchila Suda. So that which could count as starting the Suda is that which works for Kiddush B'makom Suda. And then you could get up and have it somewhere else. This is the whole view that wine could count. So that is based on the assumption that it's wine that starts off a Suda. Because otherwise, you think about it, Kiddush B'makom Suda, wine being enough, according to that view, so how could wine ever be enough? So there are definitely people who really enjoy drinking, but the idea that wine could count as an entire Suda seems very unlikely. So rather, he suggests that view is based on the idea that wine is the beginning of the Suda. So if wine is the beginning of the Suda, so then you can use that to attach for the purposes of Kiddush, and then you can go elsewhere in order to finish the Suda. So then he noted, ironically perhaps, he says, so let's say somebody wanted to say extra chumrah. So Friday night I'm going to make Kiddush on the wine, and then I'm going to go home and have my Suda there, but I'll be machmer, I'll make Kiddush then also to be Yotze Choladei. This is that, ironically, could actually scare you, could mess you up, because the whole idea that the original Kiddush could have been good is based on the premise that you're trying to make one continuum to have that be the whole Suda. But if you're going to make a new Kiddush in the middle, so then you're undermining that. You're essentially saying that they're not really connected, and then that undermines the initial idea. But he notes that presumably wouldn't apply if you were being mostly someone else, because then you're not making any statements about what you think is your meal. The reason you're making the extra Kiddush is to be mostly the other person. One could say that this is all probably more relevant, let's say, Shabbos daytime. Right? If one wants to be machmir a little bit and be mekel at the same time, it's basically kind of a more blended approach. So then to say that the Mizonos, like the Magen Avraham notes, maybe even less, maybe even Peiros, or the Mishnah Berurah doesn't love that, acknowledges it's theoretically possible in a situation of need, could be enough to be Yotze, let's say if you're the Kiddush and Shul, so you consider it to be Makom Suda to have those things. And then a daita to go home and finish the Suda there, so that this should be the beginning of your Suda. This is the appetizer for your Suda at home. Have that in mind. You know, that probably, you know, it's just a mindset kind of idea, but that may address the svara that Rav Asher Weiss is advancing here, that when you have a little bit of cake in shul, and that's considered to be makom Suda, you have in mind that that is the appetizer for the meal that you're going to go finish at home. This is a part of the whole meal experience at home. And that could strengthen this notion that that is a fulfillment of Kiddush Makom Suda. And then again, just the part they also added, that if somebody were to recite Kiddush again at home, but do so because there are people at home who haven't heard yet, so then that wouldn't necessarily contradict that, and that's the motivation. Hi, Zach. So that's an interesting question. So then, yeah, if you want to follow that far, so then it may seem like it's theoretically best. Although I don't know if you necessarily have to say that, because if it still has, even if you do make the bracha achrona, which would normally be the attitude, but if it still could serve as the appetizer that gets you in the mode to have your lunch, and maybe it still connect. Okay, so that's as far as the issue of eating. And again, all these different candidates is relevant to what Rav Daventhal was discussing, that if your Friday night meal, you had something else that theoretically could have counted as Kiddush, whether it's wine or whether it's pasta babakistan, it talks about if you had that for dessert, so then that theoretically might save your meal. But his notion that the meal would be no good if the challah was also, he explicitly notes it's based on the premise that that's all you had that could have qualified for makom suda. So now just to say a few words about the notion of makom. So what's considered to be the place? So here, if you look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch, which you had a chance to see in Reishayin Gimel Aleph, so he invokes a few possibilities as far as defining it. The language, read it here, the language of the Shulchan Aruch over there is Ein Kiddush El Makom Suda Ubebayis Echad Mipina Lepina Chashiv Makom Echad. So if you're in one house and you go from one corner of the house to the next, that's still called one place. Shein Kiddush Lechal Lepina Zu V'Nimlech Lechal Lepina Acheres. If you had Kiddush with the beginning to eat in one corner and then you move to another corner, so then I feel who tracks and goggle and it's the Kaddish. Even in a big hole, you're not going to have to make Kiddush again. And the Ramah adds in the Bayis Lusukah Chashuv Kemapina Lapina, according from the Mordechai. That's clearly a very important practical application. Somebody makes Kiddush to the day to go out to the Sukkah, that's also considered to be one, like one corner in one house. The Yeshomer back to Shulchan Aruch, Shakol Shiroa Makoma, Afilu Mibayis Lachatzir, Engel Tzarech Lachatzir Kaddish. If you can see from one place to the next, even from the house to the courtyard, that also is considered to be one Makom. The Yeshomer, Shemkidesh Makom Echad, Al Das Lachal Makom Echad, that if you had intention, we made the Kiddush, to move from one place to the next, Shafer Dami, that's good. You still have to have the two places within one house. Such as from one room to the next, or from a rooftop to go down to the ground, it's all one house. So that's all considered. So here, what do we see here? So you see the Shulchan Aruch has a couple of different possibilities, right? That you go from one house, from one corner to the next, that's all one place. That, as long as you can see, Yesh Omrim, that's also good. And that if you had intent to go from one place to the next within the same house, that's also good. So here he's basically making one of all these scenarios. Would you say that this is a chachila? Or did the evidence saying the after effect is okay, or this is totally fine? What impression do you get from his language? The Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, the way they read it, is that this is kind of Shas Ibcha. It's kind of moving. This is not so perfectly L'chachila. With possibly the exception, Mishnah Berurah notes, moving from one corner of the room to the next, that maybe that's L'chachila, but that the other views are less ideal. So why would you say that it's not 100% l'chachila, Zach?
Well,
Okay, so how do, so what does that matter though? Okay, interesting. So that could be relevant to first note that the idea that maybe this isn't so l'chaychila is perhaps because there's also my focus we've shown in the fall this is true. So this, all these kulas that Shulchan Aruch just mentioned, so this is indeed, let's say, moving from one corner to the next corner. This is the l'chaychila, the view of the Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Chav Tes Ches. And also the Rush over here. So on the one hand you have that, but the Ran and a few other Rishonim, they actually require it to be exactly in that place. So that prompts the question, so what's that machlokus about? And maybe the Shulchan Aruch is a little bit torn because there is some room to disagree. So what's the machlokus about? So it could be along the lines of what Zach was saying. It could also be that the sefer called Avnei Choshen on Yanim of Kiddush, where he also notes that it could be the question is, what is the purpose of Kiddush Makom Suda? Is Kiddush Makom Suda for the din of Kiddush, or is it for the din of the Suda? And then that could, in turn, affect the question of the formality. Just, is this basically for the purpose of Kiddush? So then we want it to have a certain type of formality, which means we really want the meal to be docked there. But if the idea is for the purpose of the Suda, so we want the Kiddush to be somehow associated with the Suda, but maybe we could have a looser definition of how exactly that's going to play out. Okay, does it make sense? Yeah, it's a little bit of a subjective association, but that's theoretically one way to understand it. I should also note that we're talking, Lemaisa, talking about the idea of within one house, that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. So Shlomo Zalman is quoted in some of the later Achronim as saying that there seems to be the assumption it's all one entity. So let's say if you have an apartment building, we have a stairwell in the middle, which I guess that could theoretically be a place people might want to join for Kiddush, but that's not owned by any one collective entity, so then that doesn't necessarily join the various locations. Probably also depends a little bit on how you understand these various issues. Okay, so we'll just quickly review what we spoke about. We pick up on Monday, tomorrow, God willing, with Shani of Parshas Chukat, some pretty significant things to discuss in that context. So look forward to learning that with you. And then, God willing, on Monday, we'll pick up with these Nyanim. Still want to talk about the modern-day practice of Kiddush and Shul, this idea that the Russian Rabbeinu Yonah brought up. So to address more completely that question, so we'll start with that. And then a little bit more about some of the general issues of Kiddush, and then hopefully soon after to move on to some of the other men in the parish. So what we talked about today, so we got into a little bit more of the question of whether it's Dereis or Rabbanan, an interesting aspect of Rabbeinu Yonah seeming to clash with other statements of Rabbeinu Yonah. We got into the question of what is the source and how to understand that, different ways to understand the two possibilities of Kiddush Makom Suda, Arba Makom Kiddush, and the Moshe Feinstein, the Moshe Weiss, and the like. And then we talked about Rav Neventhal's question about if your meal was not kosher, does that take away your Kiddush? And we explored that a little bit. And then the question of what do you have to eat in order for it to be considered Kiddush Makom Suda, and that's the different views and how we differentiate between Friday night and Shabbos day. And then we talk also about the question of location and what exactly is the standard for location and how would that play out? All right, so I wish you all a wonderful day, and I look forward, God willing, to seeing you tomorrow. Yashikach, have a great day.